Okay, yeah. Make sure you get yours directory. We're not real official as far as this stuff goes, but still we'd like to get a directory so we know where to send the police if, in case we get your number. So that's all that stuff. Matthew 24. This is kind of a continuation of the last couple of weeks, but we still should get figured out. In the back of the bulletin, this time I put a very abbreviated calendar that God has for the future. Okay, and so that's in the back of the bulletin. I know it's smaller print, but that's how it goes. Couldn't get it fitted on there anyway. And so Matthew 24, this would be, I don't know, I was originally planning on this just being one message, but I think this is the third or fourth. I can't keep track anyway. I forget what I said originally this morning. Forget whatever that is. So Matthew 24, let's go ahead and pray. Lord, I do ask you to help us to understand your words. And I pray you'd help us to do what we can now in this life so that we could make the next one better. Obviously, the first thing is the new birth, getting born again. And that's the big one. But yet, then also we could add some icing to the cake there and be faithful to your words. In Jesus' name, amen. Matthew 24. Okay, we're setting in what's known as the church time period, church age, I guess you could say. And so God has to get this one done. And the way he's going to complete this one is what's called as a pre-tribulation rapture of the church. So the church gets caught up. In a very quick moment, you'll hear this born-again people will hear, come up hither, and boom, you're out of here. Okay, that quick. And the reason why he has to do that is God has unfinished business with Israel. So he's got to finish what he's got done with Israel, and that's where we're heading with this, Matthew 24. And that's what is commonly known as the tribulation. That's when 666 becomes an economic thing. And everything is building. You can see it building. Okay? The number 666 is everywhere if you know what to look for. It's in enigmas of international corporations. Okay, you can see this everywhere. And so it's getting the world's building up for this new world order, one world banking system. Everything is building up. Okay? And it's going to be the beginning of the problem for the lost, it's going to be the good time for the saved. And so while God is judging Israel down here during the Jacob's trouble, the tribulation, born-again believers are at the judgment seat of Christ. Okay, in there, if there's a waiting room, if you're waiting for your turn, you know, if there's a television there, you turn to channel 6, you can walk the economic control. Channel 7 is for, you know, the born-again believers. You know, channel 12 would be the Jews, what's going on with them. Channel 13 would be the devil. The camera's on the devil, the Antichrist. And so, how I know that's true is because at the end of the trib, beginning of the 1,000-year reign of Christ, the church has made herself ready. So it's had to go through the judgment seat. So we'll work on that another time. The pre-tribulation, rapture, and the judgment seat of Christ are doctrines that God revealed to Paul. So he kept them secret for the Jews for 4,000 years. And so Paul is revealing this to born-again believers. So after the rapture is taken out, you have to resume the 70th week of Daniel, known as a tribulation. Okay, then at the end of that, there's going to be a big boom, okay, in Israel. And so then at the end of that, there's whoever is kind of left around the world, they will come before Jesus Christ and have what's called a judgment of the nations, where people who tried to help out the righteous of the trib become sheep, metaphorically, and the goats on the other side, on the Lord's left side, the sheep on the right side, and then the sheep go into the 1,000-year reign of Christ. They begin that, and the goats, shall we say, get a hot seat. Okay, and so then you got a 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ, going to be the greatest show on earth, no scandals, no taxation. Amazing. Okay, and Jesus Christ is running a show. No devil, no world. So all they got to deal with is their flesh. Bad enough. They can't say the devil made me do it. I made me do it. Okay, and so that's your three basic enemies. So the world and the flesh, so the world and Satan will be bound. 1,000 year of millennial peace and prosperity. Okay, and then at the end of that, the devil gets let out of prison. He gets his chain let loose. The angel unlocks the chain, and then he comes up on the earth and amazingly deceives billions of people against Jesus Christ. I just can't imagine that. They have one big last stand, you know, this last of the Mohicans there coming around Israel, last stand. And, you know, I don't understand in the evolutionary theory, they claim to be real scientific, you know, use big word. What's the big words they use for the beginning of the universe? Big Bang. I would think they'd use Maximus Bangus. Wouldn't that be a more scientific term, Maximus Bangus? It's kind of bigger. But they put it at the beginning, but the Bible shows it's at the end. Okay, so then there's a white throne judgment, and born-again believers get to judge fallen angels at that time, which is going to be a no-brainer. Okay, and then it's a judgment of the righteous and unrighteous, okay, meaning Old Testament saints and millennial saints. And then new heaven and new earth. Get to walk on gold. You know, there's a kind of an analogy told that a fella was told by an angel, you're going to die in such and such day. And he said, you get your stuff ready. He said, oh, I don't really want to die. He said, that's the day you're dying. He said, well, can I bring anything with me? And the angel kind of said something like, well, this is highly irregular, but I'll go ask. And so he went and asked, and the angel came back to him. He said, yeah, the Lord said you could bring 2 suitcases full of whatever you want. And so the day of his death came up, and he's walking to the pearly gates with 2 suitcases. And the angel said, I am dying to know what you thought was so important. And he said, open up, suitcase, there are gold bricks in there. And the angel said, you brought pavement? Because that's what we're going to walk on. So that's going to be a fascinating time. So in Matthew 24, the Lord Jesus is going to be our starting point. In verse 1, it says, Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. So this is a massive stone structure. And the character that was enamored with this building was Judas Iscariot, if you look at the cross references. So he was enamored with the building. And then the Lord said, this is what's going to happen. Jesus said unto them, see ye not all these things? Verily, I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. The Lord said, it's coming down. And Judas twitched a couple times. How dare thee? Okay, then you got a paragraph, Mark. Okay, so he left the Jewish temple. Okay, and then in verse 3, and as he sat upon a Mount of Olives, so he walked out of the temple area, came out probably the northeast gate, because the east gate is all but warded up, came out the northeast gate, and then walked over to down a valley, past the Garden of Gethsemane, past the Jewish cemetery, which is all rocks, and then over on the east side is Mount of Olives, and you could overlook the whole city. And while he's sitting there with his apostles, that's where he liked to resort over there to, you know, just relax or whatnot. They had 3 questions for him in verse 3. Okay, the 3 questions. As he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? Okay, so that's verse 2. When is that temple coming down? Now, they added 2 more questions, and it says, and what shall be the sign of thy coming, comma, and of the end of the world? 3 questions. Okay, the answer to the first question is 70 AD. The answer to the second question is around 2000-something. The answer to the third question is 1,000 years later. Okay, so, and we learn from history that people seldom learn from history. So there's going to be some similarities during these 3 times. And the similarities will be found in 4 and 5. Deception. It's easier to deceive people in these days than it is to convince them they've been deceived. So that is going to be the unique similarity. Now, the answer to the second question, the sign of thy coming, if you keep reading down, if your Bible has red letters, if you keep reading down, you'll see that the Son of Man is mentioned to come in verse 30. Okay, so we're going to read something that's close to that time period. And then the end of the world is another 1,000 years later. Okay, so if we kind of skim down through here, in verse 3, it says wars and rumors of wars. So how do you hear that? Cell phone. Okay, so nation shall rise against nation, verse 7. These are the beginning of sorrows. Now, verse 13 is a famous Pentecostal verse to hold their folks in bondage. Okay, but he shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. The end of what? The end of what? Okay, the Pentecost will not read the next verse because it says, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world. Gospel of what? Kingdom, not the gospel of the grace of God. Okay, and so that's a different gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. So we got another time of the end. There, the end. The end. And then Jesus said, when ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. Whoso readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in Georgia flee into Tennessee, where the Rock City is. Let them which be in Judea flee to the mountains, Petra, Edom. And you don't want to do it on the Sabbath day, verse 20. Sabbath day, is that not clues for us? Sabbath day. Now, Jesus brought up Daniel, so we're going to go back to Daniel to find out what he said, but not yet. Okay, and so what is the abomination of desolation? Some folks think it was when Titus walked into the Jewish temple, sacrificed a pig. No, that was just a pork roast. The abomination of desolation is a human sacrifice in a Jewish temple. I got more scripture on that idea than church membership, baptism, and tithing put together. And the world is getting conditioned for this. It's all around us if we just, people open their eyes. The Bible has all this stuff predicted. It's fascinating. The Bible is a fascinating book. It just fascinates me, this book. How easy it is if you believe it, how difficult it is if you don't. Even though you have the evidence. We have evidence to back it up. Science backs up Scripture. Now, verse 21. Here's another name for this time period. Okay, Matthew 24, 21. For then shall be great tribulation. And remember this phrase, such as was not since the beginning of the world to come, or to this time, no, nor ever shall be. 70 AD wasn't that bad. It's bad, but not that bad. And then there's another word that our Calvinist friends jump on in verse 22, elect, 24, elect. And it's very simple if you just let the Bible define its own words. First time that word is found out is in Isaiah 42:1, and that's Israel. And that verifies everything we just read about Judea, about the Sabbath, the elect is Israel. Paul reinforces that idea. That's its primary definition. And I'll just stick with that primary definition as far as that goes. So Jesus Christ is bringing this up. Okay, now, here in verse 21, he mentions the Great Tribulation, and there's another name. Now, on the back table back over here, I put these terms that apply to the same idea where the Bible uses it in different ways. Okay, last days is one term. Tribulation is another term. Jacob's trouble is another term. A little while seems strange, but that's another term. Okay, and Daniel's 70th week. These are all terms that describe the same event, same time period. Okay, in Matthew 24, 21, if you would, let's go back to Daniel, in Daniel 12, and see if we have a connection in Daniel 12. I personally view myself more of a teacher than a preacher. I don't view myself much as a preacher. More as a student of the scriptures, but more as a teacher. And personally, I try to let the Bible say what it says and let it be the influence rather than me cheering, rah, 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 you know. So Daniel 12, 1. And at that time shall Michael stand up. Michael, the two angels in the Bible, Michael and Gabriel. And then we've learned a third one named Clarence, but he's not found in the Bible. Okay, and so Michael, whenever he shows up, he's trying to duke it out with somebody. He's a strong angel. And Gabriel, when he shows up, he gives wisdom. And that's where we get the common saying, the gift of gab. Get that from Gabriel. The EL at the end of both their names is the short abbreviation of Elohim or God. So then it says, and at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, which standeth for the children of thy people. Who's that? Thy people. That's easy to figure out. And there shall be a time of trouble. Now we got another word. Time of trouble. Such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time, thy people shall be delivered. Everyone that shall be found written in the book. The book. Okay, and so that shirt, does that not ring a bell with in Matthew 24, 21? Pretty bad time. See how bad? You and I can't even imagine. I don't believe we can even come close to imagine it. How bad it's going to be. Now, if you would, if you want to hold your finger in Daniel, fine. We're going to come back to chapter 9. But I'd like to go back to Deuteronomy chapter 4. That's what I intend to do. You don't have to if you don't want to. That's your business. But I'm going to do it anyway. You can take a nap if you want, just as long as you keep snoring down. Okay, and so there's a law of understanding definitions of words. And you know, the definition of a word, it comes into play by how a word is used. And that's how dictionaries are developed. Now, the way you get the definition of a word in the Bible, you see how the word is used. Not in Hebrew, not in Greek, but in English. I can't read those languages. And it says in 1 Corinthians that God will speak His words in another tongue. And I know which one it is today. So there's that, you know, a lot of people say, well, it's not in the Bible. The Bible doesn't say other tongues. Well, yeah, it does. You just need to find a passage. He will make His words known in another tongue. And that wasn't Hebrew and Greek. It'd be English today. Okay, in Deuteronomy 4, verse 30 is the very first time the word tribulation is found. And so when you see the word, you look around it and see all the characteristics of that word. Okay, now sometimes an English word has the primary definition, and then sometimes a secondary and a third. You know, sometimes like the word cleave in marriage, you're sticking two, but the butcher's wife cleaved the tail from the rat, or the trio of sightless rodents, if we wanted to be more educated. And so, Deuteronomy 4, verse 30, when thou art in tribulation, and all these things are come upon you, even in the latter days. So here, tribulation, the very first time the word tribulation is associated with days, a time period, latter days. First time. If thou turn to the Lord thy God, and thou shalt be obedient to His voice, for the Lord thy God is a merciful God. He will not forsake thee, neither destroy thee, nor forget the covenant of thy fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, which He swore unto them. Everlasting covenant. Now, if we go back and do a little speed reading as you kind of come down through here, a little speed reading, and one way you do speed reading is you take your finger down and go right down the middle of the page and use your peripheral and you can see everything going on. So in verse 1, it says, "Now therefore hearken, O Israel." So that's the recipients. Deuteronomy 4:1. Moses is 120 years old and he's speaking this. So we got that. Verse 1, the addressee is Israel, the recipients. Verse 2, he warns them, don't you add a word, don't you subtract a word. He warns them, don't do that. Why? Because that's what people do to deceive. Verse 3, your eyes have seen what the Lord did because of Baal Peor, for all the men that follow Baal Peor. Okay, to us, that don't mean anything. Unless you read the Bible, that's with Balaam and Balak. We've gone through that on Sunday at 4 o'clock. Balaam and Balak, that's Numbers 22 to 25. And then that Balaam guy shows up in 2 Peter, Jude, and Revelation. So it's going to be a repeat. Balaam and Balak, and they had the Beatles to help push their agenda. Okay? That's really dating myself, isn't it? Okay, so we got that. And then in verse 6, toward the end of this is a great nation, not church. Right? They're spelled different. 7, nation. 8, nation. This is a nation of people, and the nation is Israel. So that's pretty easy. Okay, verse 10, this nation heard God speak in Horeb. That's today Sinai. That place is called two places, Sinai and Horeb. I haven't been there. I've been close to it. I've been on the other side of the Red Sea. Okay, a friend of mine that I went to tour with has been there and describes it. The Saudis put a chain link fence around it so nobody can investigate it. That's where they heard God speak. And then verse 13, he wrote what he spoke. He etched it in stone. That's the common saying. That's the Ten Commandments. So we're right on the same page here. Verse 20, these people came out of Egypt. I don't know what the iron furnace is technically, but something pretty bad there in Egypt. Then verse 23, there's a covenant mentioned. Mosaic covenant. Verse 24, for the Lord thy God is a consuming fire, even a jealous God. Guess where you find that verse in the New Testament? Hebrews 12:29, because he's talking to the Jews. Isn't the Bible a fascinating book? Just amazing. Okay, and then down there in verse 30 is tribulation. But in 27, he mentions 3,500 years ago, he mentions, the Lord shall scatter you among the nations. Who? Israel. How many Jews do we have in America? Ooh, lots. Scattered all over the place. Wow, why'd that happen? The Lord said so. At the same time, you know who else he's scattering throughout the world? Edomites. Who's that? Muslims. What is he going to scatter them throughout the world? What's the mode of the death sentence in the tribulation? Who likes to do to kill somebody? Nobody's ever recovered from that. You know, you can't put them on backwards. At least you see where you're coming from. Okay. Yeah, that's why he's going to scatter them throughout the world, because that's going to be the death sentence of the tribulation at the same time. And so this idea of scattering, Paul mentioned it in Romans 9:27, Romans 11:6 or 5. And then in James 1 verse 1 in the New Testament, way at the back of the Bible, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered. So we're all in this, man, the Bible just puts all this stuff together. How did those guys get all that? All these different writers, hundreds and thousands of years apart. I think there's a spirit guiding this book. In the New Testament, you have the Matthew 24. Now let's go back to Daniel, if you would. This whole idea, if you discuss this topic with someone, I ask them where the idea of the tribulation came from. That way you can get on the same page with that person. You start with a point of agreement. And if they don't know, you can kind of remind them the tribulation came from Daniel's 70 weeks. And I think at that point they might agree. And we'll say, great, hunky-dory. So Daniel chapter 9, verse 24 is where this idea came from. It's a calendar system for the first and second coming of Jesus Christ. Daniel 9:24. Now in my Bible, where you read in verse 27, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people, upon thy holy city. What I did in my Bible, if you got good eyesight, is I circled those and then I drew arrows to the other places in the chapter so I know exactly who he's talking about, thy people, thy holy city. So it's pretty easy for me to do that because I cheated and did that. And so there we got it. Great tribulation, mentioned also twice in Revelation, Daniel's 70th week, so we want to look at that. Remember where Jesus said, the apostle said, how long do we forgive? He said, 70 times 7. So was he saying 40, 190 times, or is he giving us a very short, pithy explanation of the 70 weeks, 70 weeks, 70 times 7 years, making 490 years. I highly doubt he's saying you got to forgive somebody 490 times and 491, then you can beat their face in. I kind of doubt that. Can you imagine a guy, okay, dear, I've forgiven you 690 times and you've forgiven me 199, so subtract that, that's 491, so we're going to the divorce court. No, that's the abbreviated 70 times 7 of the explanation of Daniel's 70 weeks. We have an advantage of hindsight to verify this. Okay, so he says 70 weeks are determined upon thy people. And if you can keep up with me, back in 21, my people Israel, I'm sorry, in verse 20, about the third line down, top right in my Bible. Okay, then verse 19, thy people. Verse 16, thy people. Verse 15, thy people that came out of Egypt. Who's that? It's a no-brainer, right? Why, it was so amazing. What's a city? Holy city. In the middle of verse 16, city, Jerusalem, thy holy mountain. In the middle of verse 17, sanctuary. That's a Jewish term. 19, in the middle of 18, or about 37.5% into it, the city. And then verse 19, the city. Verse 20, the holy mountain. So 70 weeks or 490 years are determined upon Israel, the Israelites, and Jerusalem. No brainer, right? Don't need a college education to figure that out. All we have to do is read sixth grade English. I love it how the Bible's like that. That's why it's called the Common Man's Reference Bible. So simple. The common man heard him gladly. Now Gideon is going to explain this because Daniel didn't understand it. And so he's asking Gideon, would you please explain this to me? And Gideon's got a great advantage of being in the third heaven. And so he's going to divide the 70 weeks into three categories, three sections. Why? Because it's got to have a three-point outline for homiletics. Okay, so then in verse 24, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and thy holy city. Now here's seven characteristics that will tell the end of it. To finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, don't think that happened, and to seal up the vision and prophecy and to anoint the most holy. None of that's happened, technically. Then he divides it. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to rebuild Jerusalem under the Messiah, that's the first time the word Messiah is found in the Bible, one of two times in the Old Testament. John 1, John 4 is the other two times, so four times totally. Messiah, interpretation, the Christ. The beginning of the commandment, that's Nehemiah 2. To to restore and to build Jerusalem, because that's the holy city. Explain Jerusalem being the center of world history. At this time, Jerusalem, the landmass of Jerusalem, was smaller than Lowell. And they didn't have Lowell town water either. Explain that. Can't explain that except God. So then he says, under the Messiah, the prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. So he divided, I don't know why he did, he divided it, 7, 62, 69 weeks. The street shall be built again and a wall even in troublous times. You'll read that in Nehemiah and Ezra. And after 62 weeks, plus the 7, shall Messiah be cut off. We call that Calvary. But not for himself. He died first for God, for his holiness and justice, and secondarily for man. He died for sinners. And then you got a colon there, and the people of the prince, lowercase, shall come, shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. They did that historically in 70 AD. And the end. Haven't we read that before in Matthew? The end. Okay, thereof shall be with a flood. There was no flood in 70 AD. No record of a flood in 70 AD. There will be in the trib. That's in Revelation 12. And unto the end, there we go again, of the war, desolations are determined. He shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. I think the Antichrist and company is going to confirm it later this month for 1 week, a 7-year time period. I don't know if that's the same thing. Okay, but there's that 1 week that's kind of hanging there. Still hanging there. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and oblation to cease. Notice, Jewish sacrifice, nothing to do with the church. And the oblation shall cease, and the overspreading of the abomination shall make it desolate, even unto the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. So that's all Israel, every bit. And Jesus summarized it with 70 times 7. Now that 70th week in the Bible, if you would go to John chapter 16, if you want. If you don't, that's fine. John 16. Okay. That 70th week is also called the last days. Also called Jacob's trouble. In the back, I got all this written down. The end. Okay, and amazingly, in John 16, Jesus calls it a little while. A little while. It's kind of funny. He does that. And you'll find a little while, that's on the paper back there. In verse 16, John 16, 16, if you have a red letter edition, it will be in red, Jesus is talking. And if you want to count as we read, you discover a little while, those three words will be 7 times. Coincidentally. A little while ye shall not see me. And again, a little while ye shall see me, because I go to the Father. Then said some of his disciples among themselves, what is this that he saith unto us, a little while? And ye shall not see me. And again, a little while, and ye shall see me, because I go to the Father. They said, therefore, what is this that he saith, a little while? We cannot tell what he saith. Okay, at that point, what do you think the wise thing to do? Ask somebody else what he meant? Or ask him. So the Lord said, now Jesus knew that they were desirous to ask him and said unto him, do ye inquire among yourselves of that I said? Ain't that classic? Well, I said it. Why don't you ask me? And then he's going to explain it. A little while, and ye shall not see me. And again, a little while, and ye shall see me. Verily, verily, here's the explanation I say unto you. That ye shall weep and lament. You can see the short word lament extended to lamentations after Jeremiah. Lamentations. But the world shall rejoice. The world will revel in the murder of Jewish people. They will love it. The world will love that. And ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. So the apostles may be coming back in this time period. A woman when she is in travail, hath sorrow. That woman is in Revelation 12. That's Israel. The tribulation is her birth pangs to give birth to a man child, probably the rebirth of the nation of Israel. When she is in travail, hath sorrow, because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish for joy that a man is born into the world. Millennial time period. Pretty as can be. The Lord lays it out there. See, so all these terms all fit into that Daniel 70th week. Because you see, the most important doctrine of this Bible is the coming of Jesus Christ to earth. That's the most important doctrine of the Bible. So what precedes that is this 2,300 days left of the 7 weeks, possibly, of Daniel's 70th week, where all hell is going to break loose in this world. He's going to make, the Antichrist is going to make Adolf Hitler look like a Sunday school picnic. The world will love to see on their cell phone a human sacrifice of a Jew in the Jewish temple by the Antichrist. They will revel in that. You see, and anybody that tries to help them out, they will want to kill them. That's why the judgment of the nation is so vital, such a vital idea. And you see, the tribulation time period, the first part of it, or the first reason for it, is God is laying his wrath down on Israel. Remember the big complaint the Anti-Defamation League said? A bunch of fake Jews said about the passion of the Christ. People will start killing Jews for killing Christ. Well, they didn't do that because Christians don't do that. But those Jews said to Pilate, let his blood be upon us and our children. And the Lord said, that will happen. After you want to study another phenomenon that you cannot explain is the persecution of the Jewish people throughout history. Can't explain that except for God. They said, let his blood be upon us and our children. And God said, will be done. The tribulation time period is first and foremost God laying his wrath upon Israel for what they did to his son. And then after that, the second one, he's going to lay his wrath down on the world of what the world did to Israel and his son, Jesus Christ. But the born-again believer, if that sounds bad, which it does sound bad, and we can't imagine how bad it's going to be, I got a way out. Amen. It's very simple. Believe in Jesus Christ. It's that simple. You see, where he said, except you be born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. You cannot enter the kingdom of God. That's what you get. Born again gets to see and enter the millennial kingdom. Now, he didn't say be a part of the administration. That's a little bit different idea. But still, just to see the kingdom of God enter into it sure beats the alternative. Does it not? I think so. But if we can make it a little bit better, that's what we do in our time here now, getting ready for the judgment seat. And the goal to be at the judgment seat is to stand there unreprovable, unblameable, and perfect in Christ Jesus. Perfect is not sinless, but it is complete, holy. That's the best. How is that going to happen? A person continues in the faith with all the words of God, not just a small set of fundamentals. All the words of God laid out as pretty as can be. And John the Baptist warned the Pharisees, who hath warned you about the wrath to come? And then Paul said that the born-again believer is delivered from the wrath to come. We don't have to go to it. Now, I know a lot of folks are kind of thinking they are. And if they're born again, they're going to be pleasantly surprised. And if they're not, I mean, the pre-tribulation rapture of the church solves all of our all born-again believer problems. And it begins all of the problems of everybody else. Phenomenal. And so that tribulation time period, the last days, the end, a little while, Jacob's trouble, all those terms are describing the same thing. And it's all about God judging Israel first and the world second, Why? Because they are worthy. And Jesus Christ is worthy to be received. He is worthy. He's the only one worthy. And when he gives that great promise, we have eternal life. Wasn't that a good deal? Man, that's a great deal. Okay, let's pray. Lord, I do pray you'd help us to see this great truth of your word. We're looking forward to the day. By chance, if someone here is not born again, they can believe on you right where they're at. Right there. Yep. Believe in Jesus Christ. First time they make an agreement, Lord, you are worthy. I am unworthy. I accept your wonderful sacrifice. What a way to honor you. What a way. That's a way to honor you. And Lord, if someone by chance has done that, let them tell somebody about it. Believe in thee. Lord, what a great thing. Piano play, if you'd like to use the altar, it's open for you. This is more of a teaching idea, but it's laying out the calendar that God has. And we'll keep marching down through this, trying to get this figured out. And that's what sets the Bible totally apart from anything else, is the prophecies. The prophecies predicted. Fascinating book. If you'd like somebody to deal with you on being born again, don't hesitate to ask anybody. Don't hesitate. Please, don't hesitate. That's the greatest news in the world. Believe in Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Lord, thank you for a book that seems like it writes history backwards. It's an amazing thing. As a God, you are eternal in the present tense. I am that I am. That's hard for a finite mind to figure that out. But you, an infinite God, and your infinite Spirit of God that comes into the heart of the born-again believer, into the heart and mind, can guide us into all truth. We thank you, thank you, thank you for that. And I pray you'd help us to rejoice in your coming. And if someone hasn't placed his or her faith in thee, believe in thee, please help them, help them. Give them the grace, give them the faith to believe in thee. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.